Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hello and welcome to All About Android. This is episode 345, recorded on Tuesday, November 28th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Ron Richards.
Yeah, there we go.
Lawrence Ion.
I heard like three switches and we got there eventually. Victor is behind the board pushing buttons. I also, you know, we're at the top of the show, so I'll just throw a quick shout out to Alex, who was in here helping out prior to the show, and then for like the 10 minutes of pre-show, pacing back and forth until we actually decided to start. So thank you for being patient, Alex, while we did our pre-show.
Sorry I talk so much.
It's not you. Hey, some people consider the pre-show to be the best part.
Some people do.
Some people think a lot of things.
True.
How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Getting in the holiday spirit.
Are you? I don't see a Santa hat on you.
I don't think I own a Santa hat, but I got. Oh. You can't see them because they're not in the shot. But over here are both our Christmas trees, and they're both set up to the Google Home, so I can turn them on and off. So, yeah, we're pretty much all set.
Yeah,
so.
I remember about this time last year. You may recall Ron was very excited about the fact that he could throw out a voice command and turn the Christmas tree lights on outside.
Which points out, yes, which is amazing. And still, as if it's like new every time it happens. But that makes me realize that we are now 1 year into living with Google Home in our lives.
Yeah. Has it enriched our lives? What do you think, Flo?
I have more than one. I have three of them in my house right now, in addition to about like four different Echoes and a Cortana smart speaker. So I've got a lot of strays here. I've become a crazy smart speaker lady somehow. Yes.
You're collecting smart speakers. You're going to feed them and you got to surround you on the couch.
Sean, I just want you to know, by the way, that I bragged about you last holiday season and what you were able to accomplish with the Samsung SmartThings. But this year, I'm going to try the TP-Link outlets, which uses the Casa app, and see how that works, because they were on sale and I bought them. And I just mentioned tonight to my husband, oh yeah, save that for Sunday when we put up our tree, which is what we're doing this weekend. So
I have to admit that setup this year was much easier. All I had to do was plug the lights into the outlets and then go into the SmartThings app and rename them. So instead of living room light, it's inside tree light, and outside lights is now outside Christmas tree. But so very easy. It was wonderful.
Mars Worm in chat says show title, Crazy Smart Things Lady. So that's a working title, at least for right now. We could build upon that throughout this show. This is definitely one of those weeks where it was like I sat down to compile news, and I think I put it out on Twitter yesterday. Slow Android news week. But you know what? As we always do, we figured it out. We've hand picked the freshest Android stories for you this holiday season. We're going to be discussing Project Treble's effects on ROM development, what to watch for with Android 8.1, because we've got the final update happening there. OnePlus 5T review, both Flo and I have been playing around with it. Ron, you have one on the way. Kind of bummed that you won't be in on this 5T party quite yet.
I'll chime in with my thoughts later on.
All right. We'll get a follow-up with you. The Moto Mod Alexa speaker, you've actually been spending some time with that, Ron, and you'll give us your thoughts on that. And then we have, of course, a ton of your feedback to kind of – it's like the stuffing from this turkey dinner.
As long as it's from the box, Jason. I don't want any of this stuff with barley, whatever other thing that you put in there.
Couscous.
From the box.
Oh, man. I hope no one makes stuffing with couscous. All right. I think we've given you ample ammo with which to jump to the news, Victor.
You might call them crazy news people. So here's Android news.
Get it.
You might.
Could you hear the switch off from what I originally was planning?
Well, because I've got the inside scoop. I heard you, but not through my ear. I heard you all the way across the room. So it's like I got a teaser of what you were about to deliver. Good work, Victor. All right, Flo, you got the first one.
Well, the first one is exciting for those of us who like software updates, which if you're an Android user, is everybody, because it's a thing. It's like the tooth fairy. It only comes when you lose your teeth, apparently. Android 8.1 is one step closer to release with a final preview and a blog post penned by Dave Burke.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. To announce what it is that 8.1 includes. It includes neural networks APIs for the on-device machine learning frameworks and with TensorFlow Lite available to developers. It sounds like this is a part of the puzzle that is going to make things very interesting going forward. The Pixel 2 also got that Pixel Visual Core finally activated, which will give it a boost to the third-party apps that are using the Android Camera API. So that means you'll be able to use that wonderful HDR Plus capability in other apps, which is really going to come in handy. And of course, this is also just going to improve the quality of image processing throughout. I, for one, am excited about the Pixel Visual Core because of the things that I have enjoyed using the Pixel 2 for, it is Google Photos, everything that comes with Google Photos, and the package that is just enhanced by this camera, which, as we'll talk about later, is still been the one that has impressed me the most this year.
Yeah, I would agree. And before the show started, Virgil, do you have breaking news? This is so not breaking news, but we might as well. I mean, it's the holiday season.
We're having fun this month. Let's do it. Me crunchy chocolate.
O-R-E-O. It's only breaking in the sense that I didn't include this article in the doc. But Virgil put it in the chat room, and so I included it because of him. So breaking news, Virgil gave us a link to how you activate Pixel Visual Core's features on Android 8.1. And it's basically you'll find these features in the developer options menu. That's kind of the hidden menu that most of you probably already know by now that you can get to in your settings. And once you go there, you'll be able to find... let's see here. In the debugging subheading, you'll find something called Camera HAL HDR Plus. You toggle that on, and that will give you the benefits of the Pixel Visual Core, which I feel like it's still kind of early to know exactly what those benefits are outside of sharing that HDR Plus capability for third-party apps. We've also heard, you know, this is going to enhance the quality of your photos that are taken. I'd love to see some before and after pictures of that to kind of see what that means in a tangible sense.
Can we just appreciate the Christmas header on that 9 to 5 Google article? I really appreciate to see that those of us have gotten into the Christmas spirit. You know, we've got Ron, we've got 9 to 5 Google. I just thank you, everyone.
Everybody's getting all Christmassy. I know. It's like Thanksgiving's anyway. Out of the way, and now all we take pictures of with our phones are our Christmas
trees and menorahs.
Yeah, they're the new thing in the room, so we might as well take pictures of them.
Precisely. Very true.
Let's see here. Is there anything else from 8.1? A Bluetooth indicator? Let's see here. Indicator for battery, for accessories, that sort of stuff is going to pass through a little bit more. Of course, the color display differences for the Pixel 2, because people were complaining that it wasn't saturated, and now with 8.1 mm-hmm. you'll get that saturated option and other things, which I think we'll talk about. Actually, Ron, yeah, tell us a little bit about how AI on the device can actually be useful.
Well, yeah. Well, are you talking about our next story here?
Yes.
I assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
As someone who has been commuting on the New York City subway system, I was very glad to see this because I see this activity happening all the time, and it's really not cool. But Google researchers showed off the new gaze protection functionality at the Neural Information Processing Systems conference next week. That's when they're going to show it off. And basically what it will do is it will use the Pixel phone's front-facing camera to detect when a second person is looking at your screen. And when it does, it will switch to camera video showing that person looking and then turn off content in the app temporarily. And they claim it works in 2 milliseconds. And it runs on the phone thanks to TensorFlow Lite. And I got to tell you, every morning and every night I see people, I'm in the cram subway and people are texting and there's some person standing behind them reading their text and it's kind of rude. And so I like that this can exist in a way to call people out for looking at what they shouldn't be looking at.
Ron, I have ammo for you towards me because, you know, as a curious journalist who also takes public transportation in a metropolitan area, you know, it's a long train ride for me. And sometimes, you know, there's people with interesting cases on board, you know, and I just, maybe I'm just curious. Maybe I'm just curious what's happening on that screen. So this was clearly built for me.
It is very tempting. I will admit it is very tempting. There have been times when I believe, oh, geez, this is years ago. I was at a baseball game and someone had a BlackBerry in the seat in front of me and they were not watching the baseball game. Rather, they were having a very heated conversation about their plans for after the game with a certain someone. And it's hard. And the font was very big. It was hard not to look. It was hard to look away. But this is something that happens in crowded spaces, especially public transit. But it's the application of this is very neat in that they can have. So what this means is that the camera is going to be on to be detecting when there's that second face happening. So think about that. You know, but in this case, it's being used for the forces of good and hopefully not for putting throw up rainbow stuff on other people, as the example is here.
But that's funny, though. Imagine if it like flashed and it was like some person behind you, rainbows.
Yeah. It takes a picture of them and then freezes it on the screen. So you know exactly who it is. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's neat. It's definitely neat.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I think it's a good representation of what we're entering into right now as machine learning and this neural network processing moves onto the device thanks to things like TensorFlow Lite, which is, you know, I mean, obviously the last couple of years AI has been a really big effort in the hands of all technology companies, but especially Google. They admitted at I/O that's like their big key core focus right now. Move that onto the device and you actually, you know, realize, I'm sure, over time, and we haven't even really thought about how that can be really powerful and really useful. It's going to change certain things about how, you know, the capabilities of our phone. I feel like for so long we've been really used to what our phones can do, and this whole neural processing happening on the chip on the device without having to send up to the cloud to do the processing with supercomputers and all that kind of stuff really opens the door for a lot of interesting use cases that we don't know yet.
Again, we're talking about machines having the same neural processes as our own brains, or to that effect.
Are you worried? Are you afraid?
I'm not actually. I'm actually really fascinated by how this is all being recreated and how much this machine has actually learned in what the last like 5 years that I've been using it. I mean, that's pretty. It's like a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it really is when you think about it. Just, I don't know. It's crazy and cool. And I see the future.
I see future people.
Yeah,
it would be actually really cool to take today's smartphone technology and go back even 5 years. Like 5 years is a good example. It doesn't seem like that far away, but 5 years in the development of smartphones, especially in the development of Android, like, wow, we've come a long way as far as what our phones are even capable of doing. And not only capable of doing, but capable of doing really fast, like usably fast. It'd be cool to show this to us ourselves 5 years ago and see if it seemed like the future. Because, we've kind of eased into it over the last couple of years. But anyways, cool stuff coming there. Also very interesting here, XDA has an article about Project Treble because we're starting to kind of, you know, more devices are supporting Project Treble. They're announcing Essential is one of them. OnePlus is not, and I really wish we would have asked Kyle Kang on last week's episode about that because it was in our notes to do so, about why the 5 and the 5T A, you know, why doesn't the 5T have Oreo at launch? And B, once they get upgraded to Oreo, why are they not getting troubleized? Because that much we know based on what OnePlus has said in the news. But anyways, I'm getting off topic. Project Treble is apparently making ROM developers excited. XDA says Treble actually makes porting AOSP ROMs to multiple devices super easy. It used to take weeks or months to do this because every device was so completely different bottom to top. And now, because of what Treble does to kind of equalize things and pull certain things out so that you've got a more focused core of code that isn't so dependent on the unique sets of hardware underneath, to paint that description with a broad brush, it takes days. So it really cuts down the level of attention and modification that's needed to port a ROM to a new device. They actually were able to use the same image as an example on the Huawei Mate 9, the Honor 8, the Honor 9, the Sony Xperia XZ1, and the Essential phone. And it took I think they said like 18 or 20 hours to do it. Whereas before, because all those devices are so different and different manufacturers, that would be way more complicated. So that's yet another upside of what Treble has in store once all devices are running it.
Treble.
It's neat to see the moving forward of the operating, you know what I mean? Like how this stuff is able to happen now, you know what I mean? Like I feel like they've built, you know, it's kind of like we built the foundation, we built the walls, you know, they put the pretty, you know, they painted the outside, whatever. And now we get to do cool stuff like build secret rooms in the house and, you know, and like do stuff like Project Treble. Like it's really neat to see where it's going to go from here. Right.
Yeah. So, and the kind of applications of this, and you know that I had never really considered the ROM community and well, probably partially because I'm not a ROM developer. I don't know what it actually takes and how much hard work it must be to create a ROM for a device and make sure that all the bugs are ironed out and all that kind of stuff. So that's just not a perspective that I would have approached, you know, the topic of Project Treble from. But it sounds like it's going to be really good for the ROM community, given that Google continues to support and facilitate, you know, make comfortable the ROM community, as Android is concerned.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Well, we know what's going to be good for the emoji community.
What's that, Flo?
Jason,
yes.
The long national nightmare is finally over. Google has updated its emoji to place the cheese on the burger, not on the bottom of it, underneath it, as it once had it, which caused a lot of uproar. If you remember, several weeks back, this was a big deal. It was such a big deal. Apparently, Google even served it this way at its cafeteria. Was it right? Who knows? Who knows? It is but a subjective thing. But still, in this objective manner, the cheese does have to go on top of the hamburger patty. And it doesn't matter if the hamburger patty is beef or veggie, or vegan, or what have you. I maintain the cheese goes on top.
I mean,
I'm glad.
It looks more normal, but I got to give Google credit for going against the grain, at least.
I mean, it's like I wanted to support them in this, but if you remember, I was silent on this issue because I would put the cheese on the burger. So,
Ron Richards, silent on cheeseburgers.
You pick your battles, Ron.
Yeah.
Also, sorry. Skype delay. Also,
go, Flo.
Just worth noting that Google has also fixed the frothing beer steins, so, because apparently it was only halfway filled before, which everybody knows you cannot eat an entire pizza with half a pitcher of beer. You need a full pitcher. That's how pizza is eaten.
How on earth would a beer be frothy on top, but then space between the froth and the drink that's halfway
that
down?
That was
the
beer with stein. Hair. Beer with a wig.
I just don't understand. This is a detail I never noticed until this article. And I was like, well, what were they thinking? That's weird. But anyways, maybe I drink too much beer.
I wonder, this is not normal. Over there. I want to know what's happening.
I would love to know who the designer on the, like, if this is one designer who sat and like, who knows what cultural background, you know, but like, I'm going to make this a little, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to do this or whatever, you know, and it's like, and I feel bad because they come in and just like, oh man, you screwed up that burger. You screwed up those beers. We got to fix this.
He's like, he or she is like, I have the easiest job in the world. Make little pictures.
And little pictures of food.
Make
right?
cute little pictures that people will enjoy sending around and still people hate me.
We don't have Oreo emoji, do we?
Ooh.
No, we don't, do we? That's not in the Unicode, is it?
Sandwich cookies are not in the Unicode, I don't think.
Sandwich cookies. Would it be
what they are, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. That would be the clinical term for them.
Yeah. Possibly. Cookies. All right. Well, speaking of that, we'll get to our next story. And Jason, you can read the chat in our doc while I do this.
Okay.
So very, very exciting news for people who use the Google Assistant on Pixel devices. The ballyhooed Google Lens is going to make the jump from the Photos app to the Google Assistant on Pixel devices. It's rolling out widely in select markets. In fact, I believe some folks in the chat room said they already have it. Google Assistant will have a little lens button at the bottom. Tap the button, then anything in the viewfinder, and it goes to work without the need to take a photo of it first. So basically, Google Glass risen from the ashes in the form of Google Lens baked into Assistant. Very cool. The amount of progress we've made since Google Glass – not Google Glass. What was it? Google Goggles. That's what it was. Google Goggles. If you remember Google Goggles from 5, 6, 7 years ago, that was the original idea. You point at something and can search for it. The integration with it into Assistant makes perfect sense. And Google and AI and, you know, photo recognition and object character recognition is so advanced now that it is like it's ready for prime time. So I'm excited. I can't wait till I get this update because I want to play with it a lot. Because how many times when you're somewhere and you're like, what is that? You just want to take a pic, you know, just hold your camera at it and we'll tell you what it is.
So. Yeah. It's
very cool.
Nice when it works. And I mean, for a while, and actually it, in my brief experience with it, it works pretty well. But up until now, it's just kind of been in Google Photos. And I don't know. I have very little reason to like hop into my photo reel for like 2 years ago and go, oh, yeah, I need to identify that thing. So this would actually be a little bit more usable on a day to day basis.
It has not worked for me whatsoever.
No? Really?
No, but I also just feel like I was watching a Pixel 2 commercial the other day and a lot of the things that it's supposed to be doing, it doesn't do like 100% amazing just yet. And I feel like the Google Lens is that particular thing. I feel like that's really going to get amazing. I have hope
eventually
for it. It's just in its current implementation, I'm like, okay, it's not here yet.
Do we fear that it might end up in the drawer along with Google Now on Tap, where it seemed like a really cool thing at I/O, and then we finally got it and we used it maybe a handful of times and then just forgot to ever use it? Is it going to end up in that same category?
I don't know yet.
I fear that it might.
I know. I want to play with it in the field to see if it happens. See how it does. See if it is the thing about this sort of thing with a new interface to access what you already do, right? Like search or taking a picture or whatever, is that it's got to be frictionless and it's got to reward you with good results because that will encourage you to continue on.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's where the proof will be. The hold down the Assistant button and take a picture of the screen and search stuff like that. That was frictionless, but I never found a need for it. Right. It was a solution really without a problem.
Yeah.
I think this could be a solution with a problem where there's something and as opposed to taking a picture, you know, like that whole photo to search jump, I feel like Google really wants to embrace because that's really the next evolution of search. Right. So I think they'll keep trying until they get it right.
Yep. The world is beta in the eyes of Google.
I mean, if you think about it, that's like the perfect way to explain existence.
Oh, oh, very. I'm going to have to think about that one for a little bit.
It's very existential today. Sorry.
Yeah,
guys,
I know.
In that kind of mood.
It really was not even in pre-show. It was like pre-show before we had opened the stream. We went on a little existential side tangent.
Yes, but genuinely too. It wasn't just like Flo trying to like make some sort of joke about how she's very existent.
Almost as deep of a thought is the thought that we forgot to do our Oreo cookie thing.
Yes.
For a moment I thought like, did I pass out? Did I like miss? Like, what time is it? Like,
wake up, Ron.
We talked about the Oreos before the show, and then we just started the show, and then I was like, did I miss it? What happened? So, Jason, take it away.
I mean, it's not in my template. It's not baked in there. And I don't think these are baked either. I got some new Oreos today. These are called white fudge covered Oreos.
I just saw those on Amazon today.
Did you?
And they are limited edition.
So I've gone to Safeway many times. Yes, I've got a few limited edition things in the queue. So this is the first of a few, and we'll see if we can get more and maybe send some out to Ron.
I do love white chocolate and white fudge. I'm jealous I'm missing these ones.
White chocolate is just cream flavor, though, right?
I was
going
to say, what is white chocolate, really?
White chocolate is delicious. That's all you need to know.
Okay. All right. Well, so this is like eating an Oreo covered in a blanket of snow.
Ooh, I like that description.
Clean snow.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I like white chocolate. Yeah, okay. I'll give this like an 8.
All right.
An 8?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I'd eat 2 or 3 of these in a sitting for sure.
Very cool.
Are you going to have 2 or 3 right now?
I might if I have time. Oh, wait. No, we're going to be talking about the OnePlus 5T and both Flo and I.
Oh, true.
Have
you
thoughts.
Could just shove them in your mouth while you're talking.
I want people to subscribe to the show, not unsubscribe.
Oh, yes. You're right. You're right.
And apparently this box is about to be taken away. So I know that I said I want more of these. Good luck, because there's not many in here. And Burke is here to steal them. So here
yes.
you go, Burke.
Yes.
Go ahead. Take them.
Would you call Burke the Hamburglar?
Oh, Flo, you reached. You reached for that.
That was good, though. I applaud you. I like that. I like jokes like that. So, yes, I would. And that might just be his new name. For a while, I was calling him the Burker King along those lines. So we're on the same wavelength here, Burke.
Wow.
With Burke. All right. So, yeah, an 8. And with that, it's time for hardware. I just took a bite. I can't talk. Flo, you go.
Yeah, me too.
He went for it. I love it. This is a great episode already.
Wow, you just went for it, man.
It's really good. I'm having a hard time not eating it. Maybe I need to give it a higher score. I don't know. But
all right, I got another dunkability. Sorry.
Kick it off, Flo. What you got?
What we got is we've got, well, actually, it's you that I really want to hear your thoughts about the OnePlus 5T, because I've been I used it here and there over the Thanksgiving holiday. So I will kind of spout out thoughts here and there. So I use this as a secondary phone. Jason uses this more as a primary phone. So that's why I feel like I really want to hear what Jason had to say. But for me, I really, really liked the camera, first of all, which I know we're going to get into. That's kind of like a meaty section. But besides that, Jason was right. The face unlock is freaking impeccable. It was so freaking impeccable that I actually tried to entertain my cousins with the technology of the face unlock at Thanksgiving on the OnePlus 5T. I don't really think they understood why I was so excited for how quickly it worked, but I was that impressed. I will say, however, that it took a while for the face unlock to really recognize me. It didn't unlock as quickly after I had put on the dark lipstick, because I had originally taken the photo like with no makeup on. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was kind of interesting that there was like a slight delay. So at Thanksgiving, it was not always like quick on the money. Sometimes it would fail if the light wasn't very good because my lipstick was so dark. And so I would have to unlock it with the fingerprint. Or I guess actually I'd have to unlock it with a pattern unlock, because that was the way it would default. So that was one thing.
By the way, I'll just jump in there. I was getting into my car last night. It was pitch black outside. Well, not pitch black, but it was pretty darn dark outside. I think there was a street light, ways down. So it's not like there was much light seeping into the car at all. And face unlock still totally worked. And I was really surprised. Like, wow. I wouldn't imagine that the front-facing camera would be accurate or good enough to be able to pick that up with such low amount of light coming in. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, because if it's just like, eh, whatever, sure, it works. We get a silhouette of your head and that looks right. Sure, you're in. I doubt it's doing that, but it worked when I didn't think it was going to work. I thought that
was pretty impressive. Well, it sounded like it's not doing that, because if it had a hard, it had to like calculate for a second when I had the darker like lipstick on. I'm assuming it like I contoured differently or something in the, however it did it. I don't know. I'm just making inferences. But beyond the face unlock, the battery life on this thing is pretty awesome. And I have to say, like, living with the Pixel 2, granted it's a smaller one and it's a smaller phone than the OnePlus 5T, but I am not like super satisfied with the battery life on it. But with the battery life on the OnePlus 5T, I left it on the TV stand for about 2 days and I came back to it and it still had 82% of its battery life. So it just sat there quietly. I really like how energy efficient it is.
Yeah, really energy efficient. And obviously, you know, part of that, and we talked about that a little bit last week, is everybody tweeting me suddenly, is the fact that, you know, that the display, even though it's a larger display than the last year's model, is a 1080p display, which I think is totally fine.
Like, and I can't tell the difference. I can't tell the difference between it and the Note 8. I was kind of using them to play a little bit in the backyard today, and I don't notice any difference. They're still both very like nicely saturated screens. You know, the default wallpaper that comes on this, I have a different wallpaper that's just as neon, but I love looking at it on the phone. And the other thing I have to say is I am reminded once again why I enjoy the bigger screen, because playing Animal Crossing, the new one, for mobile on this phone is actually a lot easier because I have more traction room for my finger because of the bigger display. So I kind of remember now why you might want that bigger display. However, the phone, and this is just kind of like a benchmark that I use, like a personal anecdotal benchmark, but the phone is really hard to get out of my purse. So it's a lot easier with a smaller phone. This one, because of its size, tends to get like stuck in a lot of stuff, which is like, Flo, why are you putting so much stuff in? But I just feel like it's worth noting just for people who might be like me and do shove a lot of things into a purse. Just sometimes just because it's bigger doesn't mean it's necessarily like easier to find.
To add to the bigger kind of comment there, I haven't got to play with the OnePlus 5T, although I'm very excited to. Recently, I've been bouncing between the Moto X2 Force and my Google Pixel 1. And so the past couple, last week into the Thanksgiving holiday, I was on the Pixel, and going from the bigger to the smaller. And remember, Jason, I've always been pro smaller, right? Like I like a small, yep. I don't like the huge. I got to admit, Google Pixel 1 sure felt tiny in my hand, and I was having some trouble typing, and I was like, why is this so small? And I was missing the bigger form factor with the Moto X2, so much so that I switched back to it over the weekend, mainly to play with the Echo thing, which we're going to talk about next. But Flo, the bigger versus smaller was very top of mind for me recently. So
yeah,
I can't believe I'm going pro bigger, because I used to be staunchly against it. So.
Well, they're making apps these days so that you really kind of benefit from having a slightly larger screen in your pocket. Yeah, so it's true. Like you might as well get a phone that takes advantage of that. But so the OnePlus 5T, I'm just going to hold up here on my little webcam for you. I have the pretty red case that came in the press box. It's super nice and super soft. And I love the default OnePlus cases, and quite honestly, I wonder why Google doesn't do the same with its cases. Here I have the fabric case for the Pixel 2. So here's how they are kind of comparison in size. If you let me hold it above the lower third so you can kind of see that. Yeah, it's a bit bigger, but it's not like that much bigger. And the fact that it's thin, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but I believe it's thinner than the Pixel 2 XL. Possibly.
Good question. I wish I had my Pixel 2 XL.
I don't know,
with
but
me.
it's a thin and light phone, I'll just say.
They're pretty comparable if memory serves.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Jason, I want to hear your thoughts and also hear your camera experience.
Yeah. So this has been, you know, I've been using it as my daily driver probably now for a little more than a week. anyways. And let me tell you, it's really hard to pull myself away from the Pixel 2. Like, It is what it is. You know, it's hard to pull yourself away from your phone and get interested in playing with another device when you finally get settled in on your device. You know, anyways, you get over it. I got over it. What were you going to say?
I was going to add to that and say that to what you were saying, just for those of you wondering out there, if you really rely on Google Assistant for like commands, I did a lot of my smart home commands from the OnePlus 5T from the Google Assistant app and just by long pressing the home button, and it worked just as fine. So I didn't have problems with that, just as an aside.
But to also re-point out that what, you know, was brought up on last week's show, if you want to do it with the screen off and your device locked, you can't do that with the 5T.
Yes.
You can do that on the Pixel. And actually, the person who sent in that question sent me a little bit of an email, little bit of a scathing email afterwards, being like, "Ah, man, it didn't sound like you guys took the question seriously. The reason I really want this is because when I'm driving, I don't want to have to pick up my phone, and this is a big issue. Like, more phones should do this." And I completely hear you on that one. But you know, apparently not all phones do that, and there might be a number of reasons why. There might be some sort of hardware inside that allows for some phones to do that more efficiently, like based on, you know, the processing power required to keep it alert at that point. Maybe Pixel's doing some different things to make that possible. There are third-party device manufacturers who are also building that support into their devices. So you're right, we didn't get a great answer as far as why that wasn't put into the 5 and the 5T, but other than that, it just isn't. So there are benefits there with the Pixel over this. But as far as this phone is concerned, I feel like it really continues OnePlus's tradition, you know, of high-quality device, affordable price. The device feels really nice in daily use. I really like... Even though I know that this means that, you know, with nothing extending beyond the screen on the front, it means if this lands face down, you know, it's more likely to shatter or whatever. But it's a nice design touch to have the corners kind of curved slightly. It's not like a true edge display, but you get this like rounding that's kind of hard to show off on the screen around all of the edges on the device. And that just gives, that helps to kind of elevate the design aesthetic of the phone. Which I think is pretty great. Let's see here. The display is awesome. It's as sharp as it really needs to be. We've kind of already talked a little bit about that. I feel like it's a good trade-off for what you get in battery. I had excellent battery life on this throughout the week. And actually, like, I didn't even charge it yesterday. I didn't put it on a charger last night. And, I mean, I'm still doing okay today. So I used it yesterday and today, basically. Which maybe this just wasn't, these weren't too big smartphone use days for me, but I was able to do it. I still love the inclusion of the Switch, which is becoming kind of a staple, kind of hard to see here, a staple of OnePlus devices to have this Switch to toggle between different, you know, modes versus Ringer On versus the middle mode, which I'm trying to do sideways here, which kind of puts it into like a vibrate or a do not disturb mode, up to the top, which is fully silent. And nice to have that switch, and they keep doing that. I'm happy that they do. But let's see here. Dash charging, awesome, super fast. I love that they moved the fingerprint sensor onto the back, and the face unlock, you know, made it so that I only really have to use this here and there. I don't have to rely on the fingerprint sensor. So if you feel comfortable using Face Unlock, you're going to get a good experience on the 5T. Pretty pleasantly surprised there. But yeah, we should definitely talk about the camera, because I think in the past with the 5, the camera was a very big selling point for this price category. Really good, you know, pictures. Maybe it's hard to compare the pictures that you get out of the 5 and the 5T to phones like the Pixel or the Galaxy S8 series cameras or the iPhone 8 or 10, 8 plus or 10 pictures. But I have been pretty pleased with the pictures that I've gotten out of the 5T. Took a lot of outdoor shots. Really like that. You see the bird out there in the water a little bit. If you start to zoom in, you see a little bit of, you know, a little bit of kind of, I don't know, kind of a milky quality. I don't know if you see it in the hair right there, that where the pixelation kind of gets milky.
Yeah. I saw that in my photos as well.
So you get a little bit of that, that kind of smacks of smartphone photography, in my opinion. But when you're fully zoomed out and you know, for the most part, the pictures that I got, I was really happy with. I'm not always super happy with what I get out of the portrait mode shots. Mm-hmm. This is a good example. My daughter is in focus and everything around her is kind of out of focus except for that fence and car in the back right area that is totally in focus.
It's distracting. Yeah. It's distracting my eye.
Once you notice it, it's hard to kind of unsee it.
Yeah.
That picture cracks me up.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But anyway, yeah, see how it's like totally sharp back there? So I got weird little issues like that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't, but it's nice to have. And when it does work, great. Just don't expect it to work every time. And this is what my dog ate for Thanksgiving. So little bonus there. So that's what I thought. I think all in all, pretty happy with the camera. It's not you know, as amazing as some of the premium cameras out there, but for this price category, I think it's awesome.
I brought a couple comparison shots. We can just jump through them real quick if you want. Of the OnePlus 5T.
Let's do that. Pixel 2.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just a photo that taken with the 5T. So
nice hat. And vest.
There's a story behind that. Sure. That's just like indoor. I didn't get much time with it indoors. Yeah. So actually I can't speak to its low light performance as well as I can during daylight, but here, this is in the backyard. So this first one is a Note 8. It's a shot with a Note 8. Mm-hmm. This one is shot with the OnePlus 5T.
Okay.
And then there's a third one that is shot with a Pixel 2, and all three of them, just worth noting, were all blown out.
Interesting.
Yeah, they all were like blown out in the background.
Okay, like up on the top of the wood area right up there.
And you can't see very well on this particular screen, but there's more of a blue tint to like the Pixel 2 photos. Whereas on the OnePlus, when you zoom in like to the open mouth area where all like the dirt vomit is coming out, I found it to be just as clear as the Pixel 2. So that was pretty pleasing, that even though I did see some of that. Yeah, I did see some of that milky effect, but like you can tell much better. You can distinguish between like sort of particles in there versus like the Note 8.
Yeah. Nice. It's actually a really, really good kind of source image, you know, for lighting and detail and stuff.
And actually, Victor, if you want to go to the last two photos, I can just show you a selfie with it. So this is just to show like how it zooms up close.
Oh, yeah, the zoom.
You do the double zoom. So this is a regular selfie. Sorry, Miss Fain over here. But I just want to show you what it looks like in beauty mode. So go to the last one. It's really too much, I just want to say.
Does it give you controls to like lessen it?
Yes, or is it and this just is, I think this is at max, which is just like insane.
Yeah.
So just anybody out there, because I see you people using beauty mode, okay? I see you out there. So... there's your sample.
Oh, beauty mode. It just continues to exist, doesn't it?
Listen, I got to try it. I do it so that you don't have to.
Good. Okay? You're doing the hard work so because that no one else has to.
Because I would love airbrush, okay? You know, this is
we can't all afford a design airbrush team. Cool. So that's the OnePlus 5T. I think it's a great phone, great for the price, and a worthy upgrade to the 5, and not that much more than what the 5 cost. You could do a whole lot worse than buying this phone, and that's I think selling it short. I think it's a great device for its price. What would be your final word on this?
I think if you want something that's not a Google experience and not a Samsung experience, I think the OnePlus 5T is another it's a good alternative experience to consider. But again, like Jason mentioned, you're giving up some things. You're giving up some of that Google hugging, you know, that Google circle around your life, which maybe to some people sounds much more appealing.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are happy to do that.
And it's $500.
Right.
Even on Black Friday, some of the best phones, you know, still weren't down to $500. So
yeah, totally. And by the way, if you live in China, there's going to be a lava red OnePlus 5T coming out. So there'll be two color options. Too bad we won't see that here.
I got to tell you, I was super disappointed that we're not going to see that here, because I'll tell you, that phone is hot.
Yeah.
That phone is awesome.
Yeah, it looks nice. I feel like this isn't the first time that they've done that, but there's probably a reason.
Because I bet you it'll sell like hotcakes over there because more people know about OnePlus.
Yeah.
I feel like we need like the Android fans here, not us, but the Android fans need to show their fealty and just, you know.
Yeah.
I just want phones that look different. Is that too much to ask? Like if you had this red phone, you would stand out on the subway platform. Maybe that's a bad thing, but much like the Next Bit Robin, much like the little colored the orange button on the Pixel 2, the panda version of the Pixel 2, the two-tone, like, give me phones that don't just look like anonymous black monolithic boxes, you know, like give me a red one. That's awesome. Man,
JJ in chat. Yeah, JJ in chat makes a very good point.
Yeah,
which I had not considered, but is totally the case. The color red symbolizes good luck in China. So this is probably that's part of the reason why choosing the color red makes so much sense in China. It'll probably sell really well.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good point. Good point. Very cool color though. I like OnePlus. Good job.
Yeah. All right.
I can't wait to play with it. I'm looking forward to it after hearing you guys talk about it. So.
Yeah, you got a lot to look forward to. It's a great phone.
Cool. Well, I got to play with something that you guys didn't get to. Whatever. So my good friends over at Motorola sent over the latest Moto mod for me to check out on the Moto Z2 Force. And Flo, I believe they sent it to you, but the SIM card requirement got in your way, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is the Moto mod Alexa speaker, smart speaker. There you go. It's a
wedge. A word, Ron.
How can you? It's what it says it on the back.
I know. That's the challenge. That's the challenge we face every day when we talk about Amazon's voice assistant.
Yeah, it's not an Echo. It is a Moto Mod A word speaker. That's the description of it. And so basically what it is it's a speaker that's not dissimilar in size to the JBL Moto Mod speaker. But the big difference is that it has this little Amazon A-Word logo plate right here and this kind of rubber kind of feet. And there's also right here, there's the plug to plug in your USB-C cable. And what that does is when you use it with the Moto Mod, and those watching the video can see it, you snap the Moto Mod on, right? And the thing just looks, it does look enormous. It's a very bulky kind of thing. But what's genius about this design is that this is not meant to be like, you can use it while you're commuting or whatever. But if you sit at a desk for 8 hours a day or you spend a lot of time with your phone, not moving, like not traveling or whatever, you can put the Moto Mod speaker on your desk and have it face up like it is here in the picture on the video, and you plug your charger cable in, and it's a great little desk accessory, and it becomes an Amazon Echo, which is really kind of cool. So as I mentioned, the requirement is that you have to have a Motorola phone that supports Moto Mods, and you have to have an active SIM card in it. So if you have a Motorola phone that's just using it on Wi-Fi, this won't work. It does require a SIM card.
Why?
Which I find I don't know. I don't know, but I didn't
think
too
deep
into that.
That's what I'm curious about. Oh, you know why? Because I think I know why though, actually.
Why?
Going back to that crazy smart home lady thing. You know, there comes when you take these assistants off the Wi-Fi network, they kind of lose their place. So I'm wondering if having it be on cellular connection all the time keeps it just in line so that it always works no matter where you are versus relying on a Wi-Fi connection. Because if you're like, at least that's what I'm thinking, because that's maybe the issue that I face having these multiple. I don't know. This is just something that I've encountered moving smart speakers back and forth between places. So maybe that's why.
Who knows? But either way, I looked at some of the reviews that are out there, and it pretty much got hammered in the reviews because it was so bulky, because it was so odd in shape. And I feel like the people who looked at it didn't quite get it. This is a great dock accessory. This is, if I was into Amazon A-Word and Echo devices, if I was in that ecosystem, I would get this for my desk at work and just leave the speaker plugged into the wall. And when I got to work, I would just pop the phone onto the dock and it charges. And then you've got an Amazon Echo at your disposal. I think that's pretty cool. It's not great for the mobility aspect. You know, like I wouldn't walk around, you know, like it's very big to hold, like on the subway and that sort of thing. I talk a lot about the subway on the show. I apologize to everyone listening who is tired of hearing me talk about the New York City subway. But this is an indoor toy, right? And I think that it's really clever in terms of the design and the application. It costs $149, so it's, you know, $100 more than an Echo Dot, that's for sure. But the integration with your phone is really kind of neat. The Amazon Echo app exists on your phone and that you can then, I believe, I'm going to try it right now. I believe you can use it without the speaker plugged in though. So you basically turn your phone into an Amazon Echo, which is pretty cool. And yes, indeed it does. It works. It is listening to me now currently, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to say the trigger word. But
Good question. See? I'll look into it.
There it is. It was listening. But so you can use it without the speaker hooked up. And so basically, for all intents and purposes, turns your phone into an Echo. You can access A-Word, Amazon A-Word services if you are on that ecosystem. I think it's pretty cool. As always with these Moto mods, $100+ price tag, $149.99 in this case, is a pretty penny. But if you're thinking, okay, I'm on Amazon A-Word, I have Echoes at home, I want to have an Echo at work, but I also want to charge my phone, here's a solution for you. So I give it a thumbs up. I think it's cool. I think it's clever. If I was on Amazon Echo stuff and not Google Home, I would, and I was rocking the Moto Z2 Force every day, I would definitely consider it. I think it's a very cool, clever way to use your phone.
Yeah. Seeing this as something that's bulky is looking at it through the lens of this being another way to use your phone on an everyday basis as a phone instead of a way to turn your phone into a portable speaker, you know, in which case this is not that bulky if you compare it to other portable speakers. So,
and I really think that the public workspace office environment is where this really sings, because it, like, if I totally get the argument, you want an Amazon Echo, just get an Amazon Echo at home, spend the same amount of money you're going to spend on it. Right. But, I don't want to get an Amazon Echo and put it on my desk at work. I don't want anyone else accessing it. The idea that this only works when your phone is attached to it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I think that the adding Amazon Echo or Amazon A-Word services to a workplace environment, this is a very clever application. So I like it.
Sean in the chat room posits that Alexa requires a SIM because you need, this are Sean's words, you need an active phone number to be registered to make drop-in calls through Amazon's voice assistant via A-Word.
Interesting.
I almost said it.
Could be.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's like a definitive requirement or what, but that's a good aspect of that for sure.
I don't have an Echo, so I haven't set one up. I bought one for my sister and my brother-in-law, my nieces, and they love it. But I wasn't there for the setup. When you set up an Echo, do you need to pair it to a phone number?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Why? I mean, that device exists on a Wi-Fi network. Would you like? Why is that requirement exist on the phone and not on the device? But the odds of you using a Moto Z2 Force without a SIM card probably are pretty slim.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Victor, what do you say? I saw the microphone swing over.
You don't have to pair it with a phone number.
Okay.
But it asks to sync with your contacts if you want to do the drop-in calling to other people's.
Got it. Okay.
Echo,
yeah. So. I don't know. That's strange.
Yeah. Mystery.
Anyways.
But it's pretty cool. I dig it. I think it's clever. I like the innovation. Okay. Keep trying new things. I'm all for it.
Yep. That's kind of what the Moto mods are all about, I think. And we're seeing that time and time again. So, you know, it might not make a lot of sense piece by piece, but they're creating a portfolio of these things. And I think the idea is if you've got the phone, you've got all these options. They're not all going to speak to you, but one of them probably will. And it might not be the most obvious thing either, you know? So awesome. So that is hardware. And I think from here, we just have a bunch of email. Insert email bumper that doesn't exist. But Flo, you got the first one.
First one.
You're first.
We've got a first email. I don't know if anybody understands that I am trying to reference.
It's the email rodeo.
Well, I was actually trying to reference Strong Bad, but perhaps I should go with the email rodeo. That sounds a lot more fun. So we've got this first one is from David. David says, I am hoping for a miracle answer. I purchased the Pixel 2 on launch day partially because they offered a trade-in program using Google financing. Currently, both phones are on Google financing. Initially, I was supposed to receive the trade-in kit within 7 days to my home address. Well, nothing arrived. Contacted Google about the issue, and they offered to resend and confirmed address to validate. Another week went by. Still nothing. So I called to see what the issue was and changed the address to my work, to which I received my Pixel 2 and a few weeks later, my Google Home Mini. Well, guess what? Still nothing. I've escalated to their senior advisors with promise of delivery and still nothing. I tweeted the situation at Sundar Pichai and was asked to DM the Google team and guess what? Still nothing. It's almost been 2 months now and now I'm paying for two phones. Any advice or did I miss something? Please tell me what to do. I need what I need to do to get this trade in. Finally, would you still trade it in given all these issues? Hope you guys are doing better than me.
Man, still nothing. Still nothing.
Still nothing. Well, David, let's see. It says here, Article C2 in the Google store terms state that you are the only owner of your device and no other third party holds any rights of any kind in your device, including installment or leasing programs. This means that you need to pay off the existing balance of your previous phone before you can trade it in. So basically, it sounds like maybe there's trouble in that realm. Of course, that's kind of hard to solve if you're not hearing back from Google.
Yeah, like I don't know if that's the reason why he's not getting the kit necessarily, but that's in the terms there. And I got the impression from reading over this that David was under the impression that, okay, I'll trade in my other phone and then I won't have that old payment, you know, installation, and instead I'll have the new one. I don't know if it works like that. Like you're still paying on it, and I think you have to pay it off in order to be able to trade it in, because you don't own it to trade it in for all that value yet. If you're still paying on it, right?
But I hope somebody would have.
Yeah, somebody at Google should tell you if that's the case. I don't know if they know the whole story, so I almost see two problems here. One, that you haven't got the kit, and I have no idea why you haven't. Welcome to, you know, the spotty experience of Google customer service. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. But B, once you do get that kit, I don't know if it's going to work the way that you think it's going to, and you should definitely look into that, unless I'm totally misunderstanding something in this email, which I very well could be.
It is worth, I will say, I am missing the, apparently I still have like 2 days left before I need to receive my Google Home Mini code. And I talked to customer service yesterday. So apparently I still have 2 days. So by tomorrow I should have a code, because that's when the 4 weeks will be up after the shipment of my phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe there's just a lot of stuff going on in Google customer service land.
Maybe so. And now that we're talking about this, I'm realizing my original Pixel, I did the trade-in as well. And I got the kit and I sent it back to him a couple of weeks ago. I've heard nothing from Google. So I'm realizing now, like, maybe there is something. Maybe they're a little overwhelmed by the holidays. I don't know. But I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't gotten even a confirmation of receipt. Like, we got your phone. Now we're going to blah, blah, blah. Nothing. So I guess I have to start looking into that.
One little piece of advice for David. I got on with customer service yesterday. I did the chat, which you can do at the Google store. And what the rep did is... it was a she, because that was her name. She sent me an email and it basically gave me a direct link to her so that I can contact her if I don't get my code in a couple of days. So maybe you can get a customer service rep to at least like legitimately rep you.
Yeah, champion your cause.
Yeah, exactly. Champion you, something to that effect. See if that works.
Hmm. Keep us posted. Let us know how that goes, please. David. I don't know if we necessarily gave you the answer you were looking for, because it's hard to know why it's falling apart behind the scenes. But curious to know how that wraps up. Patrick Olson wrote in to say one problem. Let's see here. Oops, I just scrolled out. Oh, so this is an email with a couple of things. First of all, one problem I have with VPN security is an Amazon Fire HD 8-inch. It's the 2015, the fifth generation. Though there are 3 zillion free VPN apps, my paid VPN does not have an app in Amazon's App Store. My factory default Fire OS is 5.4.0.1, and it's currently the current version is 5.6.0.0. Is there a way to turn this into an Android device? To which I say there are lots of links that you can actually go to if you have the Amazon Fire HD tablet line. Do a search. I found one on How To Geek, actually, that was posted very recently on how to install the Play Store and Play Services on a tablet. It doesn't take very long. It takes like 5 minutes to do. It's pretty straightforward, and it walks you through step by step. You don't have to root the device or anything like that. You could go that route, and you could flash like an AOSP version or something of Android on that way. Or you could install Play Services and Play Store. And I'm assuming what you mean is that your VPN service does have an app in the Play Store. And if so, that would allow you to get to it and then use it. So hopefully that'll help. I mean, along those lines, I'm going to be doing this myself, because we bought for our kids both the kids version of Amazon's Fire HD 8 tablets, because I want to kind of see what that's all about and give them their own tablet and all the extra coverage that you get from buying the Amazon tablets, like covered for 2 years, no questions asked on any sort of, you know, hardware malfunction or drops and cracks the screen, replaced, no questions asked. So I'll be interested, because I'm definitely going to be doing this to kind of open it up so that it isn't just locked to Amazon stuff. Patrick says, second, in January, I might be switching from an iPhone to an Android phone, depending on what smartphones from 2 years ago my family and I can get cheaply. Is there a way to sync two Google accounts on an Android phone without a need to sign out and then sign in? And yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Does either of you know is there a maximum number of Google accounts you can sync to a single phone? I don't even know.
I want to say 10.
I don't know.
10 accounts?
That's what I don't know for sure. I want to say 10.
Okay.
I mean, here we go on Stack Exchange.
Okay. He found it. I was just Googling it.
Someone, any user can associate up to 10 devices to his or her account. That's how many devices to an account, but how many users to a interesting. All right, keep going.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure that there is a restriction. And I mean, it sounds like as long as it's more than one, you're okay. in which case, it's super easy. You just go into the settings. You can sync multiple accounts to any Android device. It's just found there in the users section.
And here we go. In the Google product forums. Oh, no. Sorry. Carry on. I just want to do a podcast where we ask questions and then we search for them and try to find the answers.
And we keep thinking we found them, and then we go, oh, never mind.
Yep.
Oh, I found it. Okay, so
we can literally do a whole 2 hours on that.
And then Patrick says, finally, Flo, thanks for choosing Be My Eyes. I am visually impaired and am glad Be My Eyes now has an app on Android. For free apps for the blind and visually impaired, it is considered one of the best.
Awesome. I saw it was featured, by the way, in the Google Play Store today.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yay, thank you.
So good work, Airflow. And thank you for sending that in, Patrick. Appreciate it. All right, Ron, you are up next.
I just want to sit at home and add accounts to my phone and see until I run out.
Yeah, I know. Let's set up 20 Google accounts and then try and import them all into a single device.
Let's see it. Well, I'm down. It's Saturday. I'm not doing anything. Let's do it. All right. Next email comes in from Richard Quist, who says, thanks for taking the time to respond to my email on last week's show. Of course, Richard, you're welcome. And I love getting the email, seeing the emails from the Android community. Everyone, please keep them coming in. That's awesome. So Richard says, after hearing what you had to say and seeing what I think was a great Cyber Monday deal on Amazon, $399 for both the phone and the 360 degree for the essential phone. I went ahead and ordered it.
Nice.
Now I just have to find a decent case for it. Sorry, Ron. Hey, man, you be you. Get a case for that phone. Protect it. Although I do think that the essential phone is so durable that you don't need a case. But get it in your hands. See what you think. But, yeah, so Richard was able to capitalize. In fact, I sent this to you and to Jason and Flo when I saw it hit on Monday morning that Amazon was offering the essential phone with the 360-degree camera for just $399. And that was echoes of the next bit Robin, like, oh, my God, it's $299 on Amazon.
Right.
Kind of freak out, or $199 at one point.
Yeah.
That was a great opportunity if somebody wanted to pick it up. If I was in the market for a new phone, I totally would have, although I have a strict rule that after Thanksgiving, I don't buy myself anything until after Christmas. So I can never benefit from these deals. But unfortunately, the deal was only available on Monday. So if you missed it, you missed it. But it could be a sign of things to come, because like we saw at the Next Bit Robin, that inventory moved over time and you saw that price fluctuate. So if you're curious about the essential phone, bookmark the product page on Amazon. Keep an eye out for it. It could dip down to $399 again, and you got to be ready to pull the trigger. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see that price point again.
Yeah. Nice. Good way to pick it up. And congratulations on your new phone, Richard. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Well, this one is from Jeff D. And Jeff D. says, I need your opinion. Okay. My wife's Nexus 6 has reached end of life with no more updates coming from Google, and the battery is starting to get wonky. We really don't want to spend $900, $800, or even $600 on a new flagship class phone. I'm trying to stick to a $500 budget. So, given that, here's the question. Essential phone or OnePlus 5T? Or is there another good choice? You should probably know that she has gotten very used to the huge Nexus 6 screen, and she uses the camera quite a lot. The 5T has the bigger screen, but which camera is better? Well, Jeff, I think given the essential, I know they're talking about working on the camera, but I feel like given the initial reviews of the phone, and given the OnePlus 5T, they're already reviews out about it as well. I feel like the OnePlus 5T is kind of like the best choice in this particular scenario. It shoots really well. It's about that large size that your wife is used to. And as long as she doesn't mind a slightly different a version of the Android that's not completely under Google's thumb, I mean, I feel like it's a pretty good deal.
Now, you know, one magical component of this request hinges around updates.
That is true.
I'm trying to think as far as the history of updates. Essential seems to be doing okay so far. Of course, they don't have a proven track record because they're so new. But they've done a lot with the updates that they've done. What is the long-term ramification? You know, what is the long-term kind of view? It is Andy Rubin, so one could argue that he's probably pretty focused on what Android users do want, which are, you know, a dedicated focus on security updates. So maybe there's something good there. How does OnePlus do when it comes to updates over time?
I believe it's been here and there.
Because I know
it's fluctuated through the years.
Because I know Alex was in here earlier helping prior to the show. He has the OnePlus 3 or the 3T. It just got Oreo a couple of days ago. So the OnePlus 3 and 3T got Oreo before their newest phone, the 5T, that just launched, gets Oreo. So that's interesting.
That is something to consider. But as far as both phones go, they're both like these independent phones. And that it kind of comes with the territory of buying like an independent phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I feel like the OnePlus 5T, because we're talking about the big screen and using the camera quite a lot, and the 5T has the double press the home button to launch the camera. The 5T has the double camera on the back, so you can do like the portrait mode and all that. And I know the Essential has... Again, the initial reviews were not favorable of the Essential's camera hardware.
They weren't, but they very relatively swiftly have rolled out those software updates to address those concerns and kind of removed a lot of those issues.
Yeah, I got to imagine that a lot of the bumps that we saw with Essential out of the gate, mainly around the camera, will be resolved with those software updates, you know, and that they're going to do everything in their power. It's funny because it's like, I feel like OnePlus is established and still has a lot to prove, but Essential really has a lot to prove. And that potentially could be customer advantageous if you're willing to get on board.
Yeah.
So, hey, here's something to consider. You can return an Essential phone within 15 days after getting it. So you'll get a refund of the purchase price minus any restocking fee, which is usually like $25 or $35. So, and it's only $300. Right, $400, $400.
Yeah, if you can afford it, take a flyer. I'm with you, Flo.
Exactly. Take it, try it out, give yourself those 2 weeks, be on the money about it, set yourself a reminder, whatever you need to do. And if you don't get your update that you need for the camera or whatever within that time, and you know your wife thinks this is not something I want, then go and get a OnePlus 5T. Boom, problem solved.
Yeah. Don't be like me when you wanted to watch Inside Out and you signed up for Starz's subscription service to get the 1 week free and then forget about it. And now it's 4 months later and you're like, why am I still giving money to Starz? Turns out they have a wonderful movie selection. And
that's how they get you, Ron. It worked.
Speaking of that, completely unrelated to phones, but to media, I got to give YouTube TV credit because here we are in the holiday season and I love the Rankin Bass holiday specials. Uh-huh. And so the other night we got our Christmas trees and me and my wife were like, okay, what do we want to watch? Oh, let's watch, here Santa Claus is coming to town. And it aired on ABC 2 days ago. I didn't set YouTube TV DVR to record it. I didn't do anything, but I searched for it. It's like, this was on ABC 2 days ago. Press play to watch. And it was there magically.
Nice.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
That's great. Yeah. There you go. Rankin Bass shows are awesome.
Thank you, YouTube TV.
That's great. I think that the answer, Jeff, is it's really difficult to go wrong between those two. They're both so similar, but yet, like, the Essential has a smaller battery than the OnePlus. They both got their own, the Essential has the modular capability, the OnePlus does not. So they're both, like, right on par, but just with little points pushing one a little bit further or a little bit behind the other. So you really can't go wrong.
And ask her if she wants a headphone jack.
That's a really good point. I bet you she will have an opinion either way on that. Yes. And that's a pretty big selling point. Good point. Frank writes in to say, like Flo, I bought the smaller Pixel 2 as soon as it became available in the Google Store. I have not experienced any of the issues that have been reported, but I am experiencing a strange issue when using the headphone dongle. If I already have the dongle and headphones connected to my phone and start up some type of media player, I must remove the dongle, reconnect it, and then press play to get audio. When the player changes tracks, I lose audio even though the player continues. I have had this with the default media player, other player I have installed, and even YouTube when one video ends and I try to play another. Bluetooth headphones work fine. Is it just me or have I done something weird? It says, I have watched AAA for years. All of you have begun to feel like friends to me, except for Ron. He is more like a drinking buddy from college. LOL.
I'll take that as a compliment. Although yeah. I didn't drink in college, but I get the sentiment. Thank you, Frank. You're my buddy too.
LOL. And I can at least speak from my own experience. This the Pixel 2 is the first device that I've lived with in the dongle life, I would say, and just kind of had to accept the fact that I have to use a dongle in order to use my wired headphones. And I have absolutely had issues with the dongle not working. Mm-hmm. And the only way that I can fix it is to unplug it and plug it back in. And even sometimes that doesn't work, where I have to then unplug it, turn it over, and plug it back in. And for whatever stupid reason, that fixes
it. That's so weird because I after Moto Z2 Force for months, no issue with the dongle.
Yeah,
never had to unplug it. Never didn't work. I wonder if it's a Pixel 2 thing.
I don't know, or a Pixel 2 dongle.
Yeah,
hasn't happened to me.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's weird. On a similar note, though, I got my alert from the Google store that the really blue Bluetooth headphone earbuds were back in stock, so I bought them.
The Pixel Buds.
The Pixel Buds, yep.
You got the Buds, man.
So when are you getting them?
They were back in stock and then ships in 7 to 9 weeks. So So
we totally have them, though.
And that was like a week or two before Thanksgiving. So maybe I'll get it by Christmas. Doubtful. So I'm thinking 2018. I'm going to be on the Pixel Buds.
We'll be bringing you our fresh review of the Pixel Buds in February.
Although I got to tell you, I was reading some of the reviews about them, and again, the reviewers were just brutal to them. I'm very curious to play with them and see what they're like. So, but I wanted to embrace my post headphone jack world that I've been, you know, I want to walk the walk here, people. I'm trying.
Well, I'm happy that you did that. I got scared away from them. I was going to get them initially, but then I did the new screensavers with Leo, and he spent time with the Pixel Buds, and it was not a pretty experience. So
we'll see.
So I'm curious to know what you think about them, because I want to get Bluetooth headphones to kind of, you know, experience that whole world now that I have the requirement to do so, basically, with my Pixel 2. But I don't think it's going to be those. I'm going to have to figure something else out.
Fair enough. All right. We got one more email from our buddy Marlon, the guy from Trinidad, one of my favorite people. And he says, I have two Pixel 2 tips. The first is you can use OKG to troubleshoot your device. Check out this article from Android Central, which he provides the link to Android Central. He says, but the cool thing is it will do a diagnostic on your phone. When I said I was having problems charging my battery, it checked things like battery health. I see a lot of potential with this feature. This is crazy.
So what
by
is
the way.
So let's see here. So let's see.
Let's
here.
Drill down on this.
let me try. I'll see if I can. So the command is troubleshoot your device, or what is the command? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, so it says why is my phone not charging, or say troubleshoot camera, and it'll initiate a troubleshoot session where it asks you troubleshooting sessions where it asks you various things. So try typing in, why is my phone not charging, or what? I don't know.
What are some results from search?
That did not do it.
Why? So what was the other one? Why is my what not working? Why is my phone not charging?
It's not plugged in.
No. that would be the obvious solution. Anyway, turn this.
Oh wait,
phone
hang
off.
On. I'm sorry. At the bottom of the article, troubleshooting with the system is reported to work on Pixel 2 handsets running the developer preview of Android 8.1.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. This is the OnePlus 5.
So it is limited to the Pixel 2.
Got it.
So if you have a Pixel 2, you could try this and you're running 8.1. I'm sure this will roll out, but that's pretty cool. And Marlon did say it was a Pixel 2 tip, Jason.
Yeah. I missed that. I saw assistant and my ears perked up.
Okay, well, so the second tip that he provides is that he says if you take a picture in portrait mode, share that picture to Snapseed and use its portrait editing selection, then do further edits. When you save the picture, it will appear with the original two pictures in Google Photos, making it very easy to compare, even do more edits. Pretty handy.
Oh, nice.
That's great. That's basically saving the original and saving an edited version. That's very, very handy. And Marlon says, by the way, I love this phone, the regular Pixel 2, and I do feel it's getting a bad rap, though not by Flo. Yeah, my fangirl. There you go, Flo. And I had Nexus phones in the past and the OG Pixel. Love the show. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and have a great Festivus. And you too, Marlon. Thank you, the guy from Trinidad, checking in with those Pixel 2 tips.
Yes.
So those of you listening, if you have Pixel 2s and you're running 8.1, give the troubleshooting a try. Tell us what your experience was like. That's a pretty cool feature of Assistant. It's getting very cool, guys. I'm very excited about the future of Android.
Can I just say that while my mother-in-law was here, who has iOS, by the way, she was asking me how she could ask Siri to help her with basic phone problems. And I realized that Siri can't. But now, after this tip, I'm realizing that Google Assistant might be the first one to actually like do it.
If you have a Pixel 2.
Yes. Okay. But I mean, just like down the line.
Yeah.
For like wide use. I don't know. I'm excited. This is great.
It's going to be very interesting to see Google's approach to these Pixel 2 extras and when they roll it out to everyone. Like, what is the appropriate window to make that exclusive? And then when does everyone else get it?
Yeah.
Because this could be a great selling point for a lot of people to get like their parents and, you know, maybe people who are a little more technophobic onto Android, but just to have an assistant that you can ask for help.
Yeah. I could use that in life, guys.
So. I mean, it's true. Yes, we all could use a little help from my friends.
Yes, we could. All right. And I mean, who knows? Maybe someday we'll even get some of the Bixby type features in Google Assistant.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm
if
sure.
they resonate with users, I'm sure they'll fold them in.
Just realized I did not do the poll, so I'm going to have to do double duty here.
All right, well, what do you want me to take it from here and then you do the poll?
You take it from here, and yes, all right. That would be great.
So those are all of our emails. Get in on the action. You can email us and send us a video mail at AAA@twit.tv. Thank you, everyone who did it. It's always great to hear from you. But now it is time to go to the arena.
Very good.
But only one. I did my best.
Android Arena.
All right, so last week in All About Android episode 344, we had three apps came to the arena, and the results, I must say, I'm very pleased to see. Coming in first was me with Say, with 40% of the votes.
Nice.
Very close race between me and Jason with F-Droid.
Wow.
Jason came in second with 37% of the votes, and Flo came in last with Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Nobody likes Animal Crossing. What? It's like so much fun.
So listen, I know, I'm sorry, Flo.
thanks.
Animal Crossing, if you're a Nintendo person, that's a big fan. So listen up, folks. We're in the home stretch, by the way. I just want everyone to be clear that there are, including tonight's arena, four arenas left to go. There are four more.
This is, okay.
So really, we're down to the wire, and I'm elated to tell you that we already have a competitor eliminated.
Oh,
so
we're already
moving forward. So thanks to Wade County in the chat room, the results through 47 weeks of the All About Android Arena, Florence is still sitting pretty in first place with 130 points. So she's got a nice little lead
ahead of me
in second place with 125.
Nice.
Jason, you're in third with 116.
Oh, gosh.
And
that's
the newly really eliminated guests with 112 points. So guests are out. It doesn't even matter what they bring to the ring. They're playing with house money. All right. All they could do is spoil at this point, which is a factor of the standing system, because a guest could come in and take those 5 points away from a winner one week. So,
good point.
So Flo is in first place. I'm in second. Jason's in third. After last week's results, it means that Flo goes first. Florence, take it away.
Well, thankfully, my friend, my pal, Jason Howell, my pal, Jason Howell.
Sup, pal.
I was trying to make a rhyme and trying to vamp so I can open up this link. Is here to help me save the day. You know what I like to be saved from? I like to be saved from the monotony of email mailing lists that I have unwillingly subscribed to, but somehow they just show up. So I found unroll.me, which helps you unsubscribe from, it's basically actually, it's like the Tinder of unsubscribing from emails, from bad emails, because it requires that you swipe left or right to continue being on a mailing list or leaving the mailing list. Now I did this afternoon. It was very quick It was very quick going through my Gmail. And so here we have, I guess, Jason's Gmails. He's showing us what he is. This is actually the sample. So you're going to swipe the card to the left to unsubscribe. You're going to swipe the card to the right. Swipe the card up to roll up to the top of your inbox so that, you know, maybe it's a deal you want to use. You can swipe that up or swipe it to the right to keep, and it'll just kind of stay where it's at in your inbox until you get to it. So now Jason's going to continue on.
I don't know what junk mail I have in my mailbox. Let's see here. I found 13 subscriptions. Let's see what we found. That's all right. Airtable. I don't know. What do I do?
I don't know what that is.
I don't remember.
That's a spreadsheet app.
Okay. Unsubscribe.
So now I'll just subscribe you. Okay, Audible. I unsubscribe from Amazon's emails, but maybe you don't want to unsubscribe from Audible. So you would just swipe to the right and that
B&H.
Or roll up and that'll. Yeah. Okay. You swipe to the right and that'll just stay where it is.
Okay,
you'll stay on the mailing list.
Do I need Facebook in my life? Unsubscribe. First slide. Oh, that's our CSA. Definitely want to keep that. So I go to the right.
Yes,
okay.
Keep. Yeah.
No, I don't need that. Guitar Center. Yeah, I like to keep those because every once in a while they have good deals. And Kickstarter. How did that end up in there?
I feel like you want to keep those there because if you unsubscribe, you might miss something.
I want to keep those there. Okay. Hey, this is really cool. I like it. So what's happening when I do this?
When you unsubscribe, it unsubscribes you from the email subscription, so you're never going to see those emails in your inbox ever again. When you roll up, when you swipe up, you're adding that email up to the very top of your inbox so that you can get to it immediately. Say there's like a coupon in there you want to use. And when you keep it, it's just going to keep you on the subscription list. You're going to keep getting those emails. And this is just an app that you can keep on your phone and check in periodically, or you can even just install it when you need to do some cleaning in your Gmail. Then let it do a scan, and then you can maybe go in and curate what you want to keep in there, what you don't want to be subscribed to. You know, I do online shopping at weird places, and I find that I get put on a lot of mailing lists I don't really want to be on. And so this is a good way to just sort of eliminate those without the headache of going through. This video is these actors.
Are really good.
They're really, really responding to the email in their inbox. But yeah, that's unroll.me. It works with Gmail, Google Apps, Yahoo Mail, AOL, email if you still got one of those, and Outlook.com accounts. You know, it's free. It's free. So you can try it out. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's free. That's for sure. You might want to take a look in our chat, though. The interface here looks great, but
what's going on?
Wait a minute.
Oh. You see Steve Gibson's name in chat,
you might want to have a little bit of I don't want to shoot down. This is not a arena tactic. Look at Flo. I just think everyone should be aware that this company got into some hot water earlier this year because people found out why the app is free.
To me, unroll.me.
Turns out they sell your data. And this was discovered because Uber bought a bunch of private data from UnrollMe to get intelligence on how users use Lyft. And UnrollMe was like, yeah, we sell your data. The app's free. What did you expect? So, okay. So if you
all
have
right,
privacy concerns.
That going in, enjoy my data. Unroll.me. I appreciate the convenience.
Now, agreed that, you know, it's not always a good thing when your data is shared and you don't know. I'm sure there are lots of apps that we've all installed that have done that. In the settings on unroll.me, you do have an add data opt-out option.
So it's important. Yeah, thank you, Jason, because that was my question, because this was all reported in April, and I had to imagine that between now and April they did something. So there is an opt-out, which is great. So
perfect.
There it is.
I'm opting out right now.
It opts out of targeting. But, you know, hey, everyone, you make the decision for yourself. How do you feel about your data?
Here's the thing about it. This is an instance where it was confirmed what was being done with it.
Yeah.
Everyone sells your data.
Right.
Like, not everyone, but the majority of these apps, they're free for a reason because they're selling your data. That was Twitter's original revenue stream, was they were selling access to the data.
Yeah.
So it's not a big surprise. So,
yeah. Well,
that said, I don't use this app. But
pretty sure I know what I'll do. Anyways, Ron, you're gonna wait because you won last week.
This happens organically. Everyone listening and watching. This whole Flo picks an app and Ron comes in and just pops.
I should have looked earlier, Flo. I'm sorry. I gotta be.
I didn't even think to look. I guess I am.
I gotta be honest. This was not an arena tactic. It wasn't like I was sitting here like, ooh, you know, like no. This is more. I'm looking out for the users.
I was sure you were gonna point to the list and say, actually. Oh. This was done. No.
Hey, I controlled.
All right. So that's unroll.me if you do or do not want to install
out of your data before you have it do anything.
It's a good idea to opt out.
Do that settings.
Yes. And as Del Poco in the chat says, chat room can take the blame.
Okay. All right.
For that. All right. So I have an app that, as far as I know, is as far as I know, that's as good much of an assurance as anyone can give you on apps these days, is not selling your data. This app, actually, I can't remember where I read about this a couple of weeks ago, but when I read about it, it actually kind of spoke to me on a certain level, because I've always wanted to interview my parents. I've always wanted to sit down with an audio recording with my dad and ask him about certain aspects of his life. He was in the Vietnam War. He has a very, you know, very thick history before even I knew him. And I would love to be able to capture that and be able to, I don't know, have that to hand down to my kids to be, you know, so that they can learn a little bit more about my dad. Because admittedly, I have a really bad memory about details and I don't want to lose that stuff. So this is an app called StoryCorps. And basically what it is it's an app that allows you to do a couple of things. You can interview. So if I was to set up an interview here, I could start it off, prepare for an interview. Who am I going to talk to? I'm going to talk to, you know, my dad. And it allows you, it assists you in what questions you might want to ask if you need assistance with that. You can kind of go through and find some really interesting, insightful questions. You know, these are some of the best questions and you can add them to the list. It also has a little section for like warm-up questions, how to get the ball rolling, really kind of targeting people who maybe haven't done an interview before, haven't interviewed somebody before. The great listen, parents, grandparents, all types of different questions to get you started to come armed to this interview with some really good topics to kind of dive in and ask whoever you happen to be interviewing. Who will you interview? Obviously, put in a little bit of information about them. They'll go ahead and get that information. Then you jump into it. And once you jump into it, you get all the questions that are being asked. I can go ahead and start it. Sorry. I'll give it a permission. It starts to record. We do our interview. As I'm going through, I've got the questions that are listed here. When I'm done, I just check it off. And it gives you, you know, this little interface here to kind of, you know, keep you on task, keep you on target for your interview. Once you're all done, I'm going to go ahead and stop that. You can take a photo. So maybe it's a photo of you two, or maybe it's a photo of the person that you're interviewing. Or you can upload that. I'll go ahead and skip that right now. And then this allows it to be posted to StoryCorps for others to listen to and learn a little something about. I'm going to cancel out of that. You can, you know, tag it up and all that kind of stuff. We'll go into browse here, and you can see on the main landing page just some of the featured interviews once it loads up here. And yeah, it's just kind of a, you know, if you're ever looking for interesting things to listen to, this is a way to really kind of dive in and learn about just very random selections of people around the world. Like this is nobody tells you what to expect after getting shot. This interview right here. And you can go in there. It loads it up. It's a 3 minute and 4 second.
2 decades ago. It was a summer day in Los Angeles, and 6-year-old Josh Stepakoff was...
And it's obviously, it's an interview. They kind of set it up. Ah, stop. Stop. I need you to pause. Oh, the pause is down there. Sorry. That was my bad. And you can add, so it has kind of social features. So if there are people in here and you want to follow more of their stories, more of their interviews, you can add them. Just a really cool, different app. And I'm super inspired by this. The next time I visit my parents, I really want to sit down with this and interview my parents and get some things recorded that I can hold on to. And I think it would just be a really rewarding experience. And I don't know. I like this. I like everything behind StoryCorps.
StoryCorps is awesome. They have, I'm glad to see that they expanded out to an app, because they actually have here in New York City these little booths that are set up. There's one way downtown, kind of by City Hall and everything in Manhattan, where you can just go in and tell your story, and they collect all people's stories, and then they release the best ones at the end of the week. And it's this whole kind of innovative, you know, kind of embracing community and the stories that everyday people have. So I'm glad to see that they've moved from just kind of a physical kind of location kind of base with those booths into an app. I think that's super cool.
Yeah. I like it a lot. So, you know, learn about some people you may not know, and people who aren't necessarily going to be written about online. You know what I mean? These are actual stories by actual people that are outside of kind of the mainstream kind of media storytelling universe. It's called StoryCorps, and it's free. So you can interview, or you can listen, or you can do both. And there you go. All right, Ron, it is your turn. I have your app installed.
Great. It's been a while, folks, since I've done a crazy app. So here we go. It's almost the end of the year. Let's have some fun. Retro Browser Time Machine. It's free in the Google Play Store. And Jason, if you want to boot it up, it is a browser that searches, that gives you how web pages looked per a certain date and time.
Oh, my God.
And it taps into the Wayback Machine as well as to some other archive, Internet Archive stuff, but it's full of fun little surprises. So if you look here on that main page, you're looking at Google on how Google looked, I believe, on the date is 2005, right? So what you can do is you can just go into the search bar, and when you tap into the search bar – not the search bar, I'm sorry, the URL bar above where it says Google.com. So what it will do is it will show you the date that it's searching close to, so December 28, 2005. And it will also show you the pages that were popular that day if you want to see other things. But we could change the date. Let's change the date there, Jason. So hit change, and then you pulls up the calendar. And so let's just go forward in time to 2008, let's just say.
Okay.
Okay. Any day in 2008.
All right. February 1st.
And let's take a look at twit.tv. Let's see what twit.tv looked like.
Okay, so do I just go up here?
Now just go up there and type in the – yeah, so you can just delete all that. It just works like any other browser.
Twit.tv.
So now it might not find the exact date you entered, but it will find the date closest to it, right?
Okay, it's loading.
And there it is. And so now the thing is with some of these things, it's dealing with cached versions.
Yeah.
So quite often you run into situations where CSS wasn't saved or things like this. So you're going to see wonky stuff. But this is what was going on in 2008 on Twit, which is pretty cool. that's pretty neat, right?
Jumping Monkeys was a show net at night.
Yeah.
Munchcast.
So. Good times.
Wow. What else can I search?
Now, what's neat, so you can do all the searching, but this is where it gets crazier. Hit the settings icon in the upper left-hand corner, Jason. So unfortunately, this app is ad supported. So there's no way to donate to turn off the ads. So you see down at the bottom, are they cheating on our phone?
That's an ad.
So ignore that. But here you can set the home page for when you open it up to whatever page you want it to open to. But if you tap theme, you can switch from default to the Win95 theme.
Here we go.
And now hit save changes.
Oh,
you're gonna save the changes. Okay. You're gonna see an ad. Unfortunately, sorry about that. And so now if you notice, the Chrome of the browser has changed to a Windows 95 Internet Explorer browser, which I feel like that just takes the cake. There you go. So go into the browser bar and let's change the URL. Let's change the date again. Let's go back to 2002.
Oh,
what do you say? Let's go way back.
All right. Let's go 2002.
Let's go to StarWars.com.
Okay, give me a second. StarWars.com.
No idea if it was. I'm thinking this is a big media site.
I think I remember what it used to look like.
It's loading in my Windows 95.
And there it is.
Wow.
Prequel glory, Star Wars.
News, Hayden and Nat in the MTV movie house.
So pretty much if any website was saved at any point, and at least in the Wayback Machine, I don't know what other services. When I looked into this app, they said they use other caching services over the years. Wayback Machine is the one that we all know about, we played with before, and this is essentially just another way to integrate with the Wayback Machine. They might be tapping into some other services. This is not hosted by Star Wars. This is a cached version. So again, you might run into some weirdness. But if you want to revisit what the web looked like before, oh, I don't know, things we take for granted, like JavaScript and Ajax and all other sorts of web technologies, you could see when rollovers were a big deal. If you hit the drop down menu, you can see what else was popular in 2002. My Excite start page, Lycos.
Lycos. So I think I remember Lycos just a little bit. Oh man.
Yep.
This was, yep, this is the way the web looked.
Fun times. Fun times. So if you want to revisit this. If you want to revisit the web, you can go to Retro Browser, Time Machine, and you can make it look like it's from the 90s, and you can go look at the internet from the 90s as well, too. So there it is.
I guess if I'm on a Windows 95, I should go to AOL.
Yeah, just see what's going on there.
Yeah, just want to hop into AOL. And
that doesn't look like much.
Kill some time, yeah. Apparently, I'm done.
Welcome to AOL Anywhere. Oh, well.
So. Oh, well, that's awesome. It's called Retro Browser, Time Machine.
Yep.
Love
fun
it.
Stuff.
That's great. I wish they gave an option for removing the ad. That would make it even better.
Yeah, I wish they would, because I also want to support our devs. I want to throw them money. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Awesome stuff. So that's fantastic. Let's see here. So we do have a poll, and we're getting a lot of votes on the polls now, so I'm loving it. I'm loving the direction. twit.to/AAAPoll345. twit.to/AAAPoll345 for episode 345. Place your vote for either Unroll.me, StoryCorps, or Retro Browser. You can place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week. Victor, where does your vote lie? Yeah,
Victor, my man, yeah.
Retro Browser. Right.
Yes. Thank you.
I'd like to go back to a year when, like, all our sports teams were good. So, I don't see what the articles were in those days. So,
I can do that.
You can remember what it was like to read sports articles from 2002.
Yeah, 2002, 2003. All of them were good at that year.
Okay,
right?
So okay. It's outside of my scope. Right on. Great pick. And I think that's it. We've done it.
That's it.
We've
put
done
a pin
it.
In it.
The last ever episode of today's episode of All About Android.
I was about to say. Jeez.
Yeah. No. We've got plenty more in queue.
We've got three more arenas left in the year, guys. This is like, it's real.
I gotta bring it.
It's real. And like, also, we wondered if the point system would work. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I think here we are.
It was a great idea.
We're all in it. We're all in it. And the guests can be spoilers. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I love it too. Although I'm realizing I'm so far at the bottom at this point, like I could be edged out. I don't know mathematically if that means I could be edged out next week, but it's entirely possible.
We need to get some statisticians to do the different scenarios where, like, if flow comes in, if it's 1-2-3, 3-2-1, like, with you know, we can figure that out.
Yes.
And I know Wade is going to be right on top of it, and he will let you know if you Wade County in the chat room. He will tell you if you've been eliminated, unfortunately, next week. So I hope not, Jason. I want you, because I don't want to compete with flow. I mean, anybody could have made that mistake tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks,
right?
Ron.
But you never know. Hey, it
Thanks,
could still
chat
win.
Room.
And that, as they say, is that. Flo, what's up in your world? What's going on?
God, there's so much stuff going on. Just follow me at OLetFlo on Twitter for right now. Best way to keep up with me. And on Snapchat and Instagram.
Radical. Also, OLetFlo.
OLetFlo.
Everywhere.
Can I say OLetFlo?
OLetFlo everywhere.
Everything is OLetFlo.
All right. Good to know. What about you, Ron?
OLetFlo. Same thing. I'm just trying to keep up and get to the holidays. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RonXO. That's where my fun stuff is. You can go see my Christmas tree. There you go.
Do it. See the Christmas tree.
And, that's how I knew about it already.
and be jealous of the Christmas tree. Victor, thank you so much. Appreciate everything tonight. All your help.
Oh, no problem.
And all the clicking of buttons and the occasional microphone sway. so that you can talk into it. Appreciate it. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com, jasonhowell.net. Kickstarter is totally underway. We're about 50% funded, so I'm crossing my fingers. We breached halfway in
awesome.
The last couple hours, so that's good. Yeah. I feel very positive that we can pull this off. So we shall see. And even if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world.
Let's do this.
Let's see if we can make it happen. YellowGoldMusic.com/Kickstarter. If you want to pitch in on a new album, hey, I wouldn't stop you. I'd welcome it. And I would love to have you along for the ride. But as for this show, that is it for this week. We have no more show to give until next week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are @AndroidShow. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. You can always post stories there. That'll help us when we're putting the show together. Vote them up, vote them down. Kyle D's moderating that, and he does a fantastic job. All apps from every episode can be found at twit.to/Android apps. So if you're ever wondering what we talked about when, go there. You can find them. And show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You also find our episodes everywhere you find fine podcasts. And finally, catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
I want those Oreos.